Scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13, the parable of the unjust steward. It's Luke 16, 1 through 13. He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward." Then the steward said within himself, "What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, "How much do you owe me, O my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil." So he said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "How much do you owe?" So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon."
It's good to see those out this morning that have come out for the early service. As I mentioned, the last time that we spoke, we were going to choose to take a couple of the parables that are kind of unlike the other parables, and that is the case with this parable of the unjust steward. Many talk about it being one of the most difficult of Jesus's parables. And I believe that's because at first glance, it appears that Jesus is commending what most of us would consider to be a dishonest act. That is, this steward realizing that in the very near future, his position of authority is going to be removed from him, uses that position of authority for his own personal well-being, preparing for the time when he's going to be removed from his position. So, at least in the minds of many, the difficulty is that Jesus seems to be commending what most of us would recognize as a sinful attitude or a sinful action, that of him cheating his master. So it bears looking at this parable, and Brother Pickard has read to us from the account, and so we're not going to redo that. But we are going to summarize that for the purpose of leading the way to discussion of a couple of points about the parable. The servant receives this negative report from his master. His master has been told, your steward is not doing a good job. And I think it's very important that we understand that the idea of stewardship or being a servant can be looked at in a couple of ways. This person is not a common slave. He is a servant or a steward in the sense that he is working for this master, his employer or boss, as it would be. But he has a position of responsibility. He is managing the goods or the property of this owner. And when the master looks at this and says, "No, you're not doing a good job," he informs him that that stewardship will be taken away from him because he is not doing a good job. So the servant is very realistic about that. He basically, depending upon which translation, he realizes his own physical limitations. Some say he says, "I am not strong enough to dig." Others, he just simply says, "I can't dig." In other words, he says, "I'm not a manual laborer. If I lose this position, I'm not going out into the fields as a field hand to work for a day-to-day subsistence type living," which was common in those days. And he says, "I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to go about begging people. So I know what the outcome is going to be. I'm going to lose my position. And so I must deal with that." And so what he does is that he acts while he still has authority within the realm of the authority that he has to create a situation where people will be feeling a sense of obligation to them. And so the parable only gives two examples, but we're supposed to understand from that that he actually calls all of the people who are indebted to his master and works out deals with them, reducing the amount of indebtedness to them. And none of the details are of the negotiations are given in the parable, just the end result. You did owe this much, now you own this much. Understanding the way the world works, probably all of us have seen situations before or know of situations where somebody cuts a deal that basically says, "If I save you this much of money in this deal, will you give me this part of it?" And so essentially he is creating this set of people that he is personally saving them money for, but he is going to provide for himself by them giving him a portion or a share of that after the deal is done. And so while it's still in his power, he does this activity. And then in the story, when the master finds out about it, you notice he does not try to undo anything because the steward was acting within the authority that he had. And he just simply commends the steward for his shrewdness. And that's what gives people problems with the parable, in that the master commends and says, "You've acted very shrewdly." Now you have to keep that within the framework of a parable as a story that illustrates something. It is not Jesus who commends the action. He doesn't say this is a godly action, this is a righteous action. Within the story, he says, when the master finds out about it, he says, "You've acted shrewdly. You've taken advantage of the situation, and you've acted shrewdly." So that we don't misunderstand it, it's very important that we get the point of what Jesus is doing in this parable. To properly interpret it, I think we have to look towards the end of the text to see what is said there, where in verse 8 at the end of the parable, he says, "The master praised the unrighteous servant because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than are the sons of light." And so what Jesus is saying in the parable is that sometimes those who are following him, some who are more innocent maybe or naive in terms of the way this world works, they don't think the same way and recognize situations the way this unjust steward did, and act to preserve and do what he did. And so, what are the things that Jesus is talking about as he makes application of this and says sometimes the people of this world are more wise, more shrewd in their dealings than are the sons of light, than are the righteous people. And so while he's not commending sin, he is telling us what he's talking about. Understanding where you're at, what the situations are, what your options are, and making use of what you have. And so he makes these interpretations in the second part of the text, beginning in chapter 16 and verses 9 through 12. And you see that what he is really wanting to talk about is how the faithful, the ones who are following him, should have perspective about the material aspects of their life. And he says, you know, the worldly people understand these things. And you need to understand that the material things of life are simply a tool for you. And even though you are following me, even though you are saying you're going to do what God would have you to do, you still live in a material world, so you have to make proper use and proper decisions concerning the material things of this life. And so there in verse 11 he says, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust true riches to you? So the idea is there are things that you need to learn as a child of God concerning the material things of this world. Even though those things in and of themselves are of this world, they're not of our spiritual world. They are still where we live. It's still what our lives have to deal with. So I think that when you look at this parable, there are basically three applications that Jesus makes in his explanation that are really the applications that you and I need to make to properly apply the teaching of this parable to our situation as people who would want to be pleasing to God. The first of these is he says you must make use of unrighteous mammon. There is a difference, a very significant spiritual difference between making use of mammon, the things of this world, and serving it. Jesus makes it very clear in the passage. You can't have two masters. If you try to serve two masters, you're going to slight one or the other. You're going to take preference of one above the other. And so what Jesus is saying here is that we're to make use of what the world has for us in a way that it will assist us spiritually, that it will meet our real needs. The unrighteous servant made use of his master's wealth to provide for his perceived needs. It wasn't his, it was his master's. But he made use of it. And so, when we live in this world, in reality, the things of this world are not ours. Everything in the world is God's, and you can either use it the way he wants you to use it, or you can make it your master and you can serve it rather than serve God using the things of the world which he has provided for you. This world functions with material things. And so it comes down to what Jesus is telling us is having a viewpoint about the world and the things of the world that says these things are our tools to use in a way in which it serves God and his purposes. It enables us to meet our spiritual goals rather than us being tied to them and, in fact, becoming enslaved to them. So that's, I think, his first application that we should get from the passage. The second thing is that we should learn to act responsibly in all realms. Jesus points out in this parable that true character displays itself by the way in which we handle what we designate as being less important. If we say, well, I am a spiritual person, I recognize and I am seeking a spiritual result. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to pursue these spiritual goals. That's all well and good. And those certainly could be viewed as something that's higher or nobler, something that should be our true aspiration. That's what it's really all about. And you might remember, as you heard preaching through your whole life, that a lot of that preaching was designed to tell you, this world's not what it's all about. Going to heaven when the end is what it's all about. And it's very easy to give lip service to that and then live as if the things of this world are the things that are the most critical and the most important. And so Jesus is saying, if you're going to have the right spiritual perspective, you have to learn responsibility in all realms. Being a spiritual person does not mean that you have no physical responsibilities. And there are passages embedded throughout Scripture to remind us of that. Passages like to tell the husband of the house, the man who is to be the provider for his wife and his family, yes, being the spiritual leader is very important, but then there's this reminder that says, but if you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an infidel. Every once in a while, you run into a person who neglects or at least underserves the physical responsibilities that they have in their life here on earth, and their justification is these things don't matter at all. I'm focused on these spiritual things. Well, Jesus says, saying that's not so. If you won't take care of the little things responsibly, how are you going to take care of the big things responsibly? Because after all, in most cases, the big things are composed of lots of the little things. And so if you ignore those, then you're really not being faithful when you look at the big picture of things. And so Jesus is saying, you need to consider where you're at, and you need to consider what's truly needed, and then you need to understand that you need to be responsible in all things. You need to use the physical things of this world and be responsible with them in such a way that they build to or add to enhancing your relationship spiritually with God. And so Jesus just clearly says, if you can't handle the little things, then why would anyone trust you with the big things? And so, you know, when you look at life, that's we recognize that. We don't take an inexperienced person, hire them to be in our service, in our job, or on our property, or anything like that, and immediately give them the largest, most critical, most responsible obligations and duties. People start out with the lower duties and they prove that they're capable of it, and then they get, as experience and demonstration of that goes in the real world, that's where they go and move up into greater responsibilities. And if you ignore that, then you're asking for problems and failure. And maybe some of you have experienced that in your secular job or in something that you know where somebody, maybe because of the fact that they were related to the owner or the boss or some other reason, somebody's brought in with very little experience, very little knowledge, and given responsibilities over top of people who have earned it over a period of time, and the result is the disaster when the person that really doesn't know what they're doing because they haven't earned their way into that position make a mess of it. And so Jesus is saying, spiritually, we need to understand the same thing. It builds. The responsibility builds. An application that I think we can make to that that is appropriate is in the family or in the church or any of these things that affect our spiritual relationships. That's why we start giving people responsibilities when they're young. We give our children responsibilities so that they will learn to perform them, so that as they grow older, they can take on more responsibilities until they reach adulthood. That's why in the church, we're warned about making novices, people who are new converts, elders. Because you start out as a babe in Christ and you show that you can do some things and you're given those things to do. And as you do more, you're given more and you get more responsibility and you grow in your capabilities. And so that you grow into those senses of leadership. And it all starts with having a responsible attitude about even the smallest of things. Then the third application that I think he makes in chapter 16 and verse 12 is that we all need to learn to demonstrate faithfulness in what has been delegated to us. If we are given a job to do, no matter how insignificant that we or others might view that job to be, we need to be faithful in doing that job. We need to be able to be dependent upon. And so Jesus, I think, is making the spiritual points. He's talking to us about the ability to apply all aspects of our lives, even the most mundane of the physical things that we do, to our spiritual growth and well-being. And if we will learn to do that, then we will be taking full advantage of all of the things that have been provided us by the Heavenly Father in this life. So we need to learn to use them in a way that demonstrates that faithfulness. I believe that's what the passage says, and that what Jesus is saying with the passage is that we need to look at the world around us and see that those basic principles do apply into the spiritual situations in which we find ourselves. We are ready to be dismissed to our classes. The person that is scheduled for the prayer is not here this morning, so if you'll bow, I will dismiss us with prayer. Father, we are so thankful that you've given us this Lord's Day and that we are able to gather together and study from your word and make applications in our life. We recognize that some of the things that are contained in the scriptures that are a little more difficult for us to understand with our human limitations. Help us, Father, to always be willing to study and to open our hearts and our minds and to look for the spiritual application in the things that you say to us, that we might be more faithful servants. We pray now, Father, as we separate and go to our Bible classes this morning, that you will be with those who are leading us, the teaching of thy word, and that we will make application in our lives that will help us be more faithful servants. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.